When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there. And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gabzi, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stikanis. In today's episode, we review season 4 of the Who Would Win show, and what a season it was. We revisit the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Of course, I've got a lot to say about it, but before I do, Ray, what are your thoughts overall about season 4?
I think season 4 was the biggest season in the history of the Who Would Win show. We had a great overall champion. The person who won season 4 is the best of us. And I think finally the people can see it. I think finally the show has represented it. And I think finally everybody at home caught a glimpse of the greatness they wish they had inside themselves.
That's true. We had the most downloads ever. Our social media was off the charts. You know, advertisers were coming at us from left, right, and center. This was, in fact, our biggest year ever.
And it was.
I think our fans said they just love the show more and more.
2.5 million downloads, James Gabzi. We surpassed 2.5 million downloads on the Who Would Win show. Some would call that a reasonably big deal.
That is a big deal. You know, all in all, a great slash successful slash crazy season, our craziest season yet. I've definitely got some things to say, but before I do, we need to bring someone onto the show who we always bring on for our year in review shows. Let's bring on someone special who can keep me and Ray under control. It's someone who hopefully can be the adult in the room. It's someone who can see through the mystique, the grandeur of the Who Would Win show. So without further ado, making yet another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the host of the Brentfist podcast with Brent Pope. It's the executive VP of Who Would Win. It's the one, it's the only, Brent Pope. Brent, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Yeah! Oh, man. It's so good to be back. I'm glad we made it through this year. I think the big overall arching thing is Ray complained about how the judges were terrible the entire season, and he won by the most he's ever won by, so he's probably right then. He's probably right about the judges.
How dare you.
And then I just want to thank everyone online and been DMing me and somehow got my number and texting me about me being the fan favorite judge of the year. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And, you know, we don't even need to mention it again the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what?
Thank you. It's appreciated.
Why? Oh. You know what, Brent? Oh. You had the envelopes in front of you. So, you know, obviously you'd be being a straight shooter that you are. You would be giving us accurate information. And there is no reason to bring it up again. I want to be the first to congratulate Brent Pope as Judge of the Year, Season 4. Congratulations, Brent Pope.
Thank you.
So I went down.
I said, and the winner is me. And then you're like, wait, you didn't open the album. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So your name's definitely in the mix. Executive VP Brent Pope, who can fire Ray and myself at a moment's notice. I'm a little scared of saying this, but
I want to be the first to congratulate you, Brent Pope. Great job. Good victory.
That's right. Thank you. I accept.
This is why I hate working with accounting. Have to tally all the results and give the bad news. Let's see. Let's just actually make it official. Maybe.
Well, I got
possibly,
all the DMs. I can send out the transcripts later. We don't need to.
You know what? You know what I say? Stop the count. That's what I say.
Okay. Not dangerous at all to say that. Listen, before we kind of get into this episode, you know, Ray and I talked about it. We're both ready for it. This is where you give us, you know, our performance review for season four. So just go ahead. How do you rate Ray's performance? How do you rate my performance? What do we need to do to be better? Go ahead, dish it out.
I think this season, Ray did a great job of tricking the judges somehow. I don't know if he's been doing the IMF class. Congratulations on your IMF class, given at Phoenix, University of Phoenix, and a couple other places now.
Yeah, Larry James, Fitzgerald took it. It's a
big
deal.
Digital platforms.
That's right. Yep. I look forward to that being on the Masterclass platform soon. So, and congratulations to Ray for somehow getting someone to transcribe all the words that were in the thing for him. And yeah. And James, always arguing like a warrior.
Thank you.
I don't know. That's it. Just so much admiration for James. And so much... anyway, so much admiration for James.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That tracks, by the way. All right. Something to work on for Ray and something to continue for myself. Now, listen, let's turn this over to Ray real quick. Ray, if
Please.
You had to sum up season four in one word only, what would that word be?
You know, that's a very tough thing. You asked me one word to sum up season four of the Who Would Win show. And I think the only word that comes to mind is Ray. Because really, this is a season that was about me, for me. I'm the winner. I'm the best. People come to this show to hear me destroy you. So I gotta say, when you come to the Who Would Win show, you think Ray, first and foremost, and you hope that the judge can find the common sense to give me the victory every single week. This, if there weren't for the judges, I would have gone like 51-0 this week, so this year. So who are we kidding, James? It's about me.
All right, here's the deal, Ray Cicadas. You know, that's fair. This is the same word you used for season three, two, and one. If I had to pick one word that would best describe season three, that one word would be, what the hell happened to the judges this season? That's my one word. So many bad decisions.
Still
so
weird
ridiculous.
To hear you say that.
I don't
when
know what
win,
the heck happened.
You win 90% of those bad decisions. So it's just, I don't even understand. You get one that you disagree with and suddenly you're like, all the judging is making me so mad. As if we don't have bizarre King Kong versus Megatrons in the past to look at. James, I can't even with you right now.
The difference is, Ray Cicadas, is that when these weird decisions come out and the judges lose their mind for whatever reason, I have no idea what happened, but trust me, I'll take steps. But when they lose their mind, we hear about it. On the socials, we hear about it. Through my DMs, people tell me about it. I mean, it's nonstop. When our fan base, the Legion of Audience, can't agree, understand, or even stand a decision sometimes, they let me know. And boy, oh boy, season four, never before have I gotten this volume of feedback from the fans saying, what in the heck happened with XYZ judge? Again, don't worry, steps will be taken for season five. Now, let's move on. Season four had some incredible moments, some incredible judges, some memorable decisions, and most importantly, some amazing episodes. So let's go down the list and see what both the fans, Legion of Audience, Ray and myself, thought of everything. Let's start off with what was the most surprising judge's decision of season four of the Who Would Win podcast. Now, Ray, in your opinion, with all of the battles we had for season four, Ray, what was the most surprising decision?
There were a lot of surprising decisions. Quite honestly, any time the judge gives you any credit at all on the show, much less a victory on the Who Would Win show, I am perplexed. I am astounded that any single judge would hear my beautifully argued, articulated points that I have made on the show and then listen to the bile and blather that comes out of your mouth. And then at the end goes, I don't know, that vomit spew sure made a lot of sense. And then they typically say something that neither of us even said during the battle. Like, oh, Iram know this thing about this Star Wars character that James is repping that wasn't even mentioned in the show. And that was the main decision, that Han Solo would beat Austin Powers. And then you go, oh, great victory, me. And then I'm left to sit here and be like, how? James didn't even make that point. Why would that be the ultimate victory reason? And then James afterwards, 2 months later, is like, man, the judging on season 4 is really making me mad. It's like, James, it's always going to help you. Every single time they make up reasons to win. You had a character in Moon Knight show up in season 4 and had somebody, a god, give outside interference, breaking the rules of the battle to give you a victory, and you have the sheer audacity to come onto the Year in Review show and complain about the judges? If it wasn't for them losing their minds and forgetting the rules every 5 seconds, you would have 3 victories at most in your career on this show.
Yeah, Ray, I just asked a simple question. What was the most surprising decision this past season 4? I didn't need a whole diatribe.
There's 24 that are tied. You know, guess what they have in common.
That I was great. All right, listen, there was one match that stood out for me where the decision was so insane, so crazy, I couldn't believe it. That for me was Jason versus Hellboy. Just a little perspective.
Still won.
That was going to be my 4th win in a row. So I am. It was the weirdest decision, craziest, made by a judge who's so intelligent, I just don't get what happened. But here's the deal. There's a runner-up, first of all. Let's get to the runner-up. Brent Pope, you'll be interested in this. The runner-up for craziest decision, most surprising decision of season 4 was the episode that you judged, where you gave the victory to Shrek over Nemesis from the Resident Evil universe. Mm. People lost. I'm not going to lie. I still think I won justifiably. But our legion of audience did lose their minds, completely disagreed, even though I thought it was a good call. Brent, any thoughts on this?
Well, I think all of those statements that people made should be deleted. if you get what I'm saying, James. And I don't know. I thought James, it was one of your better I loved your some of the things you brought out there, and the thing that ended up being one of the biggest things was granted it came from a deleted scene.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I still call that as canon, and I'm the judge, and it was counted less as other things, but I thought that was some 4D chess by James in that one, and I stand by it. I stand by it even more.
You know, the definition of canon, Brent Pope, is that it actually happened in the universe. That is the literal explanation of what canon is.
It did. It got deleted. So you're saying that if you, let's say you're watching a reality show, right?
Let's compare apples to apples, I guess.
That happened.
Yeah.
Nothing else happened. The other 23 hours and 48 minutes of the day, nothing else happened, so therefore it's not canon. So if we come back and then one of the dudes has a black eye, you're like, well, nobody can know how that happened because it's not canon, because it happened when the cameras weren't on and they edited it out. I mean,
if we go
ridiculous.
Back to WrestleMania 9, that's exactly what happened. Hulk Hogan showed up to the show with a black eye given to him allegedly by Macho Man Randy Savage for breaking up his relationship with Miss Elizabeth, and it was never once mentioned on the broadcast whatsoever. So yes, Brent, I do think that's how it works.
For Legion of Audience, in case you're wondering, we're referencing the deleted scene where Shrek tossed Donkey, his sidekick, into space. And that takes some incredible upper body strength, is all I'm saying. More upper body strength than the Nemesis character was ready to take on, which is why I got the win. Okay.
Terrible.
Listen, we took this question to the Legion of Audience, and after compiling the results, analyzing the data, crunching the numbers, our fans decided overwhelmingly that the most surprising decision of season 4 was, you'll never believe it, Hellboy losing to Jason Voorhees. There you go. See, Ray, the Legion of Audience and I are congruent. We are unified.
Look,
I remember this episode.
James, it's recency bias only, and it's because you won't stop talking about it as if, again, Nemesis versus Shrek suddenly didn't happen anymore. I just put on my big boy pants, and I moved on, and don't dredge it up every one half of every episode.
Oh, sorry. I thought there was more. Yeah, it's not like you ever kind of, you know, rehash old things and kind of make them relevant again. Okay, listen, the judge for that episode, Gina Ippolito, look, I've said it before, I'll say it again. She's an amazing TV writer. She's super funny, by the way. And as a Who Would Win judge, she's a super funny TV writer. Look, as a Who Would Win judge, there's a lot to be desired in that category. She was on the show before. She was fantastic. I don't know what happened this episode. If she comes back on, I'm hoping whatever, you know, she had for the first time she's on comes back. I don't know. This was a crazy episode. And everyone DM'd me. Everyone thought this was crazy. That's the winner. The Legion of Audience agrees with me, James Gazzi. That was the most surprising, probably disappointing episode of season four. All right, listen.
James puts the pitchforks and torches for an episode's decision, whines about it every single episode thereafter in the season. And so when it came time to judge what was the most surprising decision, the one James won't shut up about every episode won. Boy, it's a real mystery what happened, James. Nobody can figure it out. You're probably right.
You're saying the fans, the Legion of Audience, agreed with me 100% on the...
Saying
okay,
the fans don't know what they're talking about most of the time.
Way to go. Now, some of you, by the way, on another note, have DM'd me and asked me about implementing a new rule for the Who Would Win podcast. This is actually interesting, right? They asked, should we take battlefield removal off the table as a way to win a battle in the Who Would Win show? Brent Pope, over to you. What do you think? Should we take battlefield removal off the table? Is it a cheap way to win a battle? Like, what do you think should happen with that?
I mean, that's an interesting question because although it is sometimes seems like a cheap way to win, that also might be the only way that certain characters might win, or it might be like their MO as a character. So, yeah, I find it hard. I guess I would say it still should be in there, but, you know, I can see what people are saying, though, because sometimes it does seem like a cheap way to win. But some, you know, some guys, that's how they do it.
I do agree. Ray really definitely, like, over-relies on battlefield removal. Ray, what do you think about this rule? Should we just remove that as a method of victory, battlefield removal in its entirety?
When I first joined on with the Who Would Win show, I thought one of the most intriguing aspects of the arguments was the fact that battlefield removal was such an integral part of the discussion. And that talk about who could kill the, like a death battle thing, right? That's a thing, right? I just made that up. Okay, that doesn't exist. Okay, so arguing about two characters who would have to fight to the death is like one thing, but there are some characters that just, they don't die. There's just some character that just does not work with, right? Battlefield removal is a great equalizer that allows for particular combatants to have a chance in battles they otherwise wouldn't, and also can allow for a surprise decision at the end that makes total sense when you actually break it down. It forces us as arguers, as show members, to play 4D chess and stops us from just being lazy and just shouting out a bunch of math and numbers to prove our point and saying, my number I came to was bigger than yours, I just win. That's lazy. That's boring. I want to have a battle where we actually have to match wits against each other because I know that you're virtually unarmed in those situations.
I love it. All right, listen, I actually think we should keep it. And if it's especially, Brent Pope, to what you just said, if it's part of the character and it's part of their fighting tactics or way they escape taking damage and can come back in, then I think, yeah, I think we should keep it. If it's part of what they do and they use it in battle to fight, it should absolutely stay in. That's our call. You know, we may make this an official thing for the Legion of Audience to decide fully, but I actually do believe we should keep that in. All right. Listen, let's move on to our next big category. Let's talk about the best judge of season four. Now, last season, Delvin Cox won the Judge of the Year award. You'll never believe it, but he was nominated yet again. So the nominees for the top judge for season four are Adam MacArthur, Crystal Storm, of course, Delvin Cox, Frank Todaro, Roger Craig-Smith, Robert Clark Chan, and believe it or not, our executive VP, Brent Pope, made the list.
Someone's stuffing the ballot box. And the winner is...
Oh, boy, I'm sorry that I already told you guys who won. Ugh,
you know,
boy,
this is crazy, though,
now.
Because, you know, making their judge's debut in season four of the Who Would Win show was somebody who I thought brought a certain gravitas, a certain a je ne sais quoi to the role of judge that this show has never seen before. I, of course, refer to Ray Stakanis, maybe the greatest judge in Who Would Win history, appearing in our April's episode of, what was it, Spider-Ham versus Stitch. A great judgment was had. A lot of very deep thoughts were had. How did our guy Ray not make the list? He was brilliant.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, look, not only was that the most dominating victory of the year, and I say dominating because Robert Clark Chan, my opponent, is a genius. He's smarter than both of you guys put together.
No one's arguing.
And for me to wipe the floor with Robert Clark Chan, I mean, I don't see how I not only was I the best judge, I was also the best arguer. You know, and had the most dominant victory. So that should put me over the top right there. So we don't need to see who the fans... What?
Hold on. Both of you guys. Look, you've just said arguer. Ray, you said... How about debater? Is debater such a hard word? All right, listen. I've got the actual envelope right here. Making
what?
The envelope opening noise right now.
I
do. I'm opening it right now. No, he had some. I've got the official one from accounting. It is... The one, the only, Crystal of the Storm is the winner. Crystal Storm is the winner, is the judge of the year for season 4. Now, listen, I've known Crystal for quite some time. She is absolutely fantastic. She's a very accomplished writer. She had this great Star Wars audio drama that came out. She's working on all these sorts of different projects. She's absolutely fantastic. I love it when she's on the show. Ray, what do you think of Crystal Storm, and why do you agree with me that she is the judge of the year for season 4?
Look, Crystal Storm might be one of my favorite people on the planet. Of course, if you haven't listened to Legacy yet, do yourself a favor and pick all the episodes with Jorgen or the Emperor in it for no reason. Those are just great characters that come to mind. And I think you would enjoy the work that she's doing in the audio drama space very much. Also, she plays Roxy, the Bruja Primogen, in Reclaim Detroit, Vampire the Masquerade audio drama. But as judge of the year, I thought Crystal had a few very suspect decisions. Now, cult of personality is a thing. I think she is very captivating when she talks. She's probably judged more who would win battles going back to the preseason of this show than anybody in history. So the fact that she knows her stuff is not to be argued. I do think that she was better in season 3 than season 4 and didn't win in season 3. And so I would just make the argument that you'll never believe this, James. I think the people got it wrong. I think the true judge of the year, as I said before, was me. And I accept this trophy.
You know, I got all the results I've been compiling, you know, saw all the data that was compiled. The one name that didn't appear whatsoever as any nomination for Judge of the Year was Ray Stikanis.
How dare you? Because I saw my name because I tweeted it myself.
I have to be honest, too. You know, as the executive VP, I have won more than once with the votes, and I had to pull my name out because it's a, you know, conflict of interest. But that's okay, you
it
guys. I'm willing to do that. But we just know in
it
everyone's
is.
Hearts, I know where everyone's hearts and minds and actual votes that I won.
It's fair enough.
That's fair. All right, listen, congratulations, Crystal Storm. You are well-loved online. That's all I'm going to say. And, of course, the Lumen production team.
I'm very happy for Crystal Storm. I'm very happy for Crystal Storm. Just, you know, like many decisions of the Who Would Win show, I just don't agree with it. But I'm happy for her to win.
I can't believe we're agreeing on this. This is crazy. All right, listen, we've had so many great judges who have been on the show so many times. But we kind of created internally within the team a new category because we had a judge on this year that just blew our minds with how great they were. So we have a new award for Rookie Judge of the Year for the Who Would Win show. Look, every season we have amazing people come on the show and, you know, we come on the show for the first time. Some absolutely kill it. Some are okay. Actually, in season 3, season 4, especially, we've had a lot of first-timers that were fantastic. And this year, Ray, myself, Brent Pope, and everyone else just couldn't get over how great one judge in particular was who debuted this season. So the Rookie Judge of the Year for the Who Would Win show is Joey Clift. Ray, I know we are in 100% agreement that Joey Clift just absolutely nailed it as a first-time judge. Why do you agree with that statement?
Joey Clift is a brilliant man, a great performer, great mind, great writer. I actually agree with this decision. And we had some wonderful first-time judges. I want to make special mention. Jason Kelly came on the show. He was actually on twice because he was
great
so good.
Judge.
An amazing judge.
Yep.
Jen Kane, William Schmidt. I had a whole list in front of me. My name appeared on the list as first-time judge. I will say it again.
Was never on, never
was
up
on the
for,
list I compiled.
New York, but go ahead.
But there were a lot of excellent first-time judges on the Who Would Win show, without question. But Joey Clift really came in, and he will be back. He will be back soon. He did an excellent job on the show. I even lost that match and I came out with tremendous respect for him. That's how good he did. As soon as the Who Would Win board heard me say that in the room, I already knew he had won in that moment, because that's not often something I feel or say.
That's true. Listen, you know, you got Crystal Storm, Delvin Cox, Roger Craig Smith, Adam MacArthur, Brent Pope, Robert Clark Chase. You've got these amazing minds. Never mind amazing talents, but amazing minds who come onto the Who Would Win show and take it very, very seriously and understand their consequences if you do wrong by our show or don't absolutely put 100% of your mind into the judge's decision and the responsibilities therein. Look, I'm not trying to say there's going to be bad things if you give a bad judgment to the Who Would Win show, but there's going to be a lot of bad consequences. I'm not trying to say any judge shouldn't come on. I'm just saying take this job seriously because everyone else does. All right.
No, that's great, James, and I agree. We had a lot of great writers, comedians, a voiceover talent who have come on the show. They take the responsibilities of judge seriously, and at the end of the day, we have a very effective, relatable, feels-good kind of a product. And sometimes we have fashion influencers on the show.
Thank you.
In our next category, we asked the Legion of Audience, what character do they want to see in season 5? And for those who don't know, when we have our production meetings, you know, Brent, you've heard how vocal both Ray and I get on this. We, I think, outdid ourselves for season 4 with our team battle versus one opponent, you know, team versus team, composite, Samuel L. Jackson versus Samurai Jack. I mean, we really thought outside of the box for season 4. And we kind of discovered that we're going to keep going in that direction. So with that being said, we took it out to the Legion of Audience and said, out of all the characters you've seen, which new characters would you like to see make an appearance on the Who Would Win show? So, Ray, before I kind of say what, you know, the Legion had to say, who do you want to see on season 5 for the Legion? Who do you want to see in season 5 for Who Would Win?
There's a lot of characters I think we could stand to do. I mean, I know one that came up was Lex Luthor, who I've expressed a desire to get on the show many times before. Season 4 was really a season, though, of characters we've always wanted to do on the show getting on the show. We did Captain Carrot, for gosh sakes, this year. Of course, it's because I won 4 in a row and nobody could tell me no. But the point I'm trying to make is we do go outside the box and get interesting and fun characters. And I'm loving to be a part of it. I like kind of slightly more obscure and teaching people about these wonderful characters that exist that maybe they weren't aware of or weren't particularly familiar with. And I enjoy the idea of educating our audience to be better fans of the medium. That being said, I want to see, and when I win 4 in a row, and I'm going to take that bet once again, perhaps Sid 6.7 from my favorite movie, one of my favorite all-time movies, Virtuosity, with Denzel Washington, played by the immensely talented Russell Crowe, star of such films as Gladiator, L.A. Confidential, and The Other Guys. Was he in The Other Guys? No, Nice Guys.
I don't think so.
Knockdown Guys, Knock Around Guys, Nice Guys. He was in a movie that had the word guys in the title that wasn't Guys and Dolls, because after seeing him sing in Les Miserables, nobody wanted to see him sing in Guys and Dolls. My point I'm trying to make is Sid 6.7 is one of the greatest characters in cinema history. I fought very hard to get him in season 4 and was always vetoed by the board. I'm telling you right now, I'm making it happen. He's coming in season 5.
How does it feel knowing that Sid 6.7, if that's the character's name, lost out to Captain Carrot?
I mean,
in terms of what the board thought would be a good character to have on the show.
No, how dare you, James? Captain Carrot is somebody I wanted to get on the show myself ever since you brought him up in the Shazam versus Captain Marvel episode, trying to pass it off like I didn't know who Captain Carrot was. You try to just throw him in there saying like he's like a Superman-level character, and then I just beat you over the head and shoulders with it for about 2 seasons straight. Captain Carrot was overdue, and now Sid 6.7 is ripe. Now, the one thing I did learn about our audience, the Legion of Audience, definitely not the Rainiacs, definitely not the Awkward Allies, is the fact that so many decisions of characters that people wanted to see on the show were characters who we've already done on the show before. How many people said, you know who you should do on the show? Wolverine. Like, we didn't just do him in season 4. What is happening, Legion of Audience? You're pathetic. You make me sick sometimes with your lack of imagination and with your lack of just general knowledge of the show you're interacting with. Get good. is all I'm trying to say.
I have a friend that listens to the show, and he was complaining to me, Ray, that his favorite character, Driz Durden, was not on the show. And I had to go back and show him the episode.
Throw babies.
That he was on. And by the way, I think all the Rainiacs that have been texting me and DMing me, I like your idea for the pie. It's like a food fight pie match between the Three Stooges and Marie Callender. That's a pretty good idea, you guys. And I think Ray had a little to do with that too. And also the savory pies versus the fruit pies. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there.
Put it on the big board.
That should stick. Okay, listen, Ray, the reason why a lot of people may not be familiar with all of our matches is because our fan base, the Legion of Audience itself, you can tell by our socials, it's growing weekly. I mean, absolutely growing by leaps and bounds. I am super thankful for all of our new fans who are listening to the Who Would Win show. Please feel free, go back, look through our catalog. There's absolutely guaranteed to have a ton of episodes that you're going to just absolutely love. Now, in terms of a character I'd love to see.
These are tweeting at me that they didn't like my argument from the hours of 4 a.m. through 3 a.m. the next day without stopping. They clearly don't have jobs. They could be listening to back episodes of our show.
Yes, we're in agreement. All right, now, I said it last year, I'm going to say it now, especially with the passing of the iconic Kevin Conroy, we need to see Batman from the 90s animated series in season 5. It's insanely overdue. Listen, you have Captain Carrot.
There's a character we've never done on the show, Batman.
Just saying, Batman does well for us ratings-wise. The fans love him, and it's about time. All right, let's see what the Legion of Audience came up with for the top choices. They chose, in no particular order, Lex Luthor for Ray Sicanus. That's a great suggestion. One Punch Man. Definitely we need One Punch Man in. Okay, here we go. Batman from the animated series. How about that? The Kool-Aid Man. Ray, that's your influence 100%. And one of my favorites, Omega Supreme. There are a bunch of other suggestions, but these are the ones that have been coming up a lot, and especially when he asked you directly, these suggestions came up all the time. But they can only have one winner. The winner, the most popular choice of who people want to see in season 5 is Batman from the animated series.
Oh my
Hell
goodness.
To the yes. Who? That's what we're doing.
Who's auditing these votes? I have a feeling that James is just stuffing the envelopes himself. I don't think any actual research went into this compilation. I'm having a hard time believing it. And Omega Supreme, I ordered two of those at Taco Bell last week. They were delicious.
Very crunchy, I bet. All right, listen, Ray, we've offered many times for you to do the actual calculations, tabulations, and count of all the votes we have, and maybe even do some accounting on the side.
I'm not doing that work.
Exactly. All right, I'm just saying there's a reason why you don't believe the results. Okay. Now, it's time for the coveted Who Would Win Fan of the Year Award. Ray, there are so many fans that have really gone above and beyond this season. Are there any fans in particular that stood out for you for season 4?
Are there any fans who stood out to me in season 4? I could name a bunch off the top of my head. We've got Adrian, Brad Dancer, Devin Woody, Tennyson Cole, Jude Fulton, Daniel Ledesma Smith, Pierre Barbeau, Douglas Reigert Johnson, Nathan Fair, Ken Turner, Frederick Dennison, Eric Heitling, Ray, just some guy named Ray, Felix Kalt, Forbidden Mob, Sarvis, Joe Leal, Jacob, Lord Snurts, Eric Lehman, Gabe Ingrata, Delvin Cox, and Gunnar Lofauer. I would say off the top of my head, and not having done any research ahead of time, those are my fans of the year. And if you want to join that list, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. And for $3 a month, gosh darn it, in this inflation, $3 a month, that's like nothing. You could actually join the list of the coolest people you know. Otherwise, I don't respect
you. Those are for some very cool people indeed. Now, Brent Pope, you know, I know you're the executive VP of Who Would Win, but you kind of, see the effect our fan base. What's your impression of the fans of the Who Would Win show?
The fan base is so huge. I mean, the fan base is so huge that just on your Patreon, you have a guy named Tennyson and a guy named Dennison. I mean, how does that happen? It almost seems not real. What it is there's so many fans that they're going to have every single name. Are there any names that are not fans of Who Would Win? That's what I would have to say. And you know what? I love getting called out by the fans when they hate my judgment because I love hearing my name.
You totally do.
I love seeing my name in the lights on my computer. I love seeing it on a big thing in, on a movie theater too, or on a TV screen, but I also like seeing it on Twitter. That's how vain I am.
I have a lot of people reaching out saying, hey, how do we get the same type of social media reaction that the Who Would Win show gets on the on all the platforms and what we do? And here's the problem. I can't help them replicate that. Between Ray and myself, the Who Would Win production team, there's just some magic. Yeah, Ray, there's some magic, including you, that we just seem to have that seems to resonate with our fan base. Anyway, with that being said,
I've been casting spells and hexes and curses. You don't got to tell me there's magic in this show. There's more magic in this show than The Gathering.
That's fair. All right, now let's talk about the nominees for Fan of the Year for Season 4. So, number one, we have the mysterious fan on Twitter known as Sinjin45. That's Ray's favorite. There's Adrian, who recently turned 19. Guama Hairsonell, of course. Cameron Sullivan, Nathan Fair, Matthew Dawson, young Gabe Ingrata, not quite as young, Jim Ingrata, but there can only be one. And the Season 4 Who Would Win Fan of the Year is Matthew Dawson. That's right, Matthew Dawson. Now, for those who don't know, yeah, Matthew is fantastic. He is not just a great fan of the Who Would Win show, not just a great podcaster where he's the host of the Dial-Up Movie Club podcast. He's not just the director of the upcoming Justice League Mortal audio drama, but he's also the genius talent behind the Who Would Win fight trailers our fans enjoy week in and week out. And we just wanted to give him a quick shout out and a very big thank you, you know, for everything he's doing, the support for the show, the fight trailers that everyone loves that are just absolutely fantastic. On top of everything he's doing, listen, this is a guy who's working full time, just got engaged, has his own responsibilities. He's like, let me make the fight trailers, and we love it. Thank you so much. They are enjoyed by thousands every week. Matthew Dawson, you're fan of the year for Season 4, but you're also just an awesome individual. Thank you for just being a great part of the show. And now it's time for the biggest award of the year for the Who Would Win show. This one is huge. It's time to determine Season 4's match of the year. Brett Pope, let's start off with you. What do you think was the best episode of Season 4?
Oh, if I'm going to say the best episode, I think it was Spider-Ham versus Stitch. I think that was my favorite one. I myself really liked Venture Brothers versus Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know if I agreed with the decision, but I love seeing those two teams on the show.
Okay, very cool. Ray, what was the match that stood out the most for you for Season 4?
There's a bunch. I'm looking through the list again right now, and we really had a lot of bangers. You know, we opened up with Dr. Octopus versus Inspector Gadget.
Great
matchup.
Great judge. Great judge.
Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Wolverine was one that I think slapped. We got a little wild with Knight Rider versus Speed Racer and Pac-Man versus the Riddler. Like, I mean, I really think we're going for it. It's Charles Xavier versus Emperor Palpatine really hit for me. We brought in Austin Powers into a battle. Batman 89 versus TV's The Incredible Hulk. And then there were a lot of very recent ones. You know, the one that I'm going to always go to my grave saying was one of my favorite episodes of all time was Huggy Wuggy versus John McClane in the Battle of the Vents in Shocktober. Big, big fan of that matchup and introducing Huggy Wuggy, regrettably, to a whole lot of different people. But if I was going to pick a character of the year, match of the year, I would have to say it came down to the final battle of the year, Samurai Jack versus composite Samuel L. Jackson. As far as wildness goes, as far as importance to the show goes, as far as pure fan service goes, even though they all went over my head to bring Jack on the show, and that was some nonsense, I will say, that would be my personal match of the year, Samurai Jack versus composite Samuel L. Jackson.
That was a great matchup. You know, there's been a couple of great moments as well as one match that stands out for me most of all. The one moment I loved it all is I got to bring back Megatron, who absolutely stomped the crap out of Captain Carrot, rightfully so.
If Captain Carrot had won that episode, that would have been my match of the year.
Possibly.
We had a good judgment in that one.
Quite possibly. The moment of the year was actually what took place in the Who Would Win production meeting at the end of the year when I said, great, who is Santa repping? And they said, no, we're retiring Santa Claus. There's no chance that Ray is going to beat you. We've come to that horrible conclusion.
That's not
that when you rep Santa, that's exactly what happened word for word. And I'm like, okay, can I pick someone else? They're like, sure, Samurai Jack. And they're like, done. And then you picked the, actually, this is genius on your part. Ray is the one who picked composite, Samuel L. Jackson. I think that was brilliant. But for me, my favorite match of the season was the MCU's Moon Knight versus the DCU's Gorilla Grodd from the Flash TV series. That was with the amazing judge David Sobolov, who is the voice of Gorilla Grodd from the Flash TV series. And even though Ray Stakanis tried to rig the match by bringing in David Sobolov, the voice of Gorilla Grodd from the Flash TV series, I still got the win for Moon Knight over the character Ray was repping, Gorilla Grodd from the Flash TV series. Just saying, when you put it all together, and the way Ray tried to stack the cards against me, and I still got the win, it was pretty satisfying. But let's see what the Legion of Vines had to say. So the nominees for the match of the year are the Enterprise versus the Star Destroyer. Well, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Ray, to your point, Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Wolverine.
No surprise there.
Ronald McDonald versus Burger King. Really like
that
one.
Didn't mention it, but that was a very popular match.
Very popular. Han Solo versus Austin Powers. That was a little out of the box. John Stewart Green Lantern versus Vecna. Now, that match broke the Green Lantern curse, because before then, no Green Lantern had ever won a Who Would Win match. But there can only be one winner. And the winner for best match of season 4, as voted by you, the Legion of Audience, is...
The next chapter in the New York Times best-selling Last Kids on Earth series is here in The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. If you didn't know, The Last Kids on Earth is a graphic novel series from authors Max Brallier and Joshua Pruitt, where 13-year-old Jack Sullivan survives the zombie apocalypse in what's been called The Walking Dead meets The Simpsons. Yeah, you get it. It's bright, it's fun, and it's got an art style all its own. It's crazy. Now, in The Last Comics on Earth, our band of heroes are hard at work creating their own sequel, which of course is going to be bigger and crazier than anything ever seen before. I mean, we got supervillains, we got monsters, heck, we got a kaiju with a car head and hamburger feet who's named Steve. Yeah, this book has it all, and it carries the important Who Would Win Show stamp of approval. So if you'd like to check out this new book that also has a spin-off Netflix series, might I add, then let's make it happen. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com and learn more.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Remember crying when Optimus Prime died?
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode?
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniacs were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
Different podcast.
This one is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing Is Half the
Podcast.
And the winner for best match of season 4, as voted by you, the Legion of Audience, is Ronald McDonald versus Burger King. That is the match of the year voted by the Legion of Audience for season 4. Ray, what are your thoughts on that matchup in its entirety?
I am not surprised to hear that that would win match of the year. Again, while I disagree with the decision in that episode, I do think, as far as going there, as far as being wild, as far as thinking outside the bun, that was an episode that really stands on its own, much like Homer Simpson versus Peter Griffin the year before would be the only comparison that I have for it. That's one where we both had to work extra hard in overtime and putting our points together. And that one really did seem to resonate with the fans, as the download number and number of listens told us, because it performed extremely well. It really set the stage on the entire rest of the season being great. As far as Showdown September matchups go, it was a great one. I stand by all my choices in it. And I think if we ran that back 10 times, I'd win 9 of them. It just so happens that one time was the time of record.
You know, I got to tell you, I love matches where you can lean into the insanity of the characters. But the problem is, as Ray kind of pointed out, when a character is so insanely powerful and there's a lot of history to it, all of a sudden, your research for the episode is going to take the entire week. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's almost like we have, Ray, I'm just talking on your behalf, it's like we have an additional full-time job sometimes, just in terms of pure research and analyzing strategies and trying to figure each other out for the episode. It is absolutely insane. I know I went crazy for this. I had to watch pretty much every commercial, to use the commercials version of Ronald McDonald. I watched every freaking commercial I could get my hands on, including foreign national commercials. How crazy in terms of research did you go for Burger King?
Oh, it was crazy. I went back and played some Sneak King. I went and watched, as you said, I watched hours of videos online of old advertisements and documentaries about the history of Burger King, and I'm never getting that time back.
So true. I'm not necessarily enriched by that time.
No, I'm not a better person for that experience, but I did do it.
Ray, you're selling yourself a little short, I think, because the last time I talked to you, you said you had also spent over 2 days in the last year in the Burger King drive-thru. So,
yeah, I'm waiting for service. No
one research.
No one will serve me. No one will serve. I sit there and I say, I'm not leaving till the cops get here. And then after a few hours, the cops show up, you know. Then you go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens. That's what happens. Brent Pope, do you agree with the Legion of Audience that this was match of the year?
It was a really fun match, and I think that's why the fans picked it. It's two fun characters. It's a little outside of the box. You know, I think that's the ones that the fans are always going to flock towards. And also, when you have just like those iconic characters, like I'm not surprised that Obi-Wan and Wolverine was one of the ones too. It's just like either iconic characters going up against each other or really weird characters or ones that we remember from our childhood, you know, and ones that you wouldn't think of as fighting. So yeah, I'm not surprised.
This season was really memorable in a lot of different ways, you know, so many great highlights. And Ray and Brent, I just want to take a moment and highlight a few of the high spots for the Who Would Win show. Ray, you mentioned this before, we broke 2.5 million total downloads and listens this season. That is absolute insanity. We brought on bigger and bigger advertisers and sponsors. I mean, that was crazy too. And you know what's cool is when fans of the show notice that and say like, congrats. I mean, they notice our success, which is fantastic. We had great judges, some new ones returning, some new judges, some old ones returning, lots of great judges this year, despite what we're saying. We actually had our first official viral social media post. That's right. We had a social media post that went officially viral on Instagram of all places, where last time I checked, we had over 394,000 likes and over 14 million impressions. That was just from a few weeks ago. This is crazy. And the reason we are having all of this success is really because of you, the Legion of Audience. Like, we do this show for you, but it's all of you who really make the show what it is. Ray, even you have to admit that it's kind of cool when potential celebrity judges reach out to us asking if they can be on the show because of our fan base. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, when you said it was thanks to you, I just thought you were talking to me, and I was prepared to accept that wonderful statement as fact and say, you're welcome, James. You're welcome for everything I've done for this show. But when you phrase it like the way you phrased it, that actually says something different that I disagree with. But the point I'm trying to make in all this is, without the people, we wouldn't be here. Look, I'd still be here, but you wouldn't. That's just the reality of it. I would be doing this show regardless if we had 10 or 15 listeners and not the millions that we actually do have, but you wouldn't. So, folks, if you want James to stay with the show, keep on listening to the show. I'll be here regardless, and you really can't do anything about that.
You know how much truth is to that, Ray, by the way? Just to let the Legion of Audience know this, and listen, we're all insanely busy. None of us have a ton of free time. This show is insanely important to me. It really is. And when the show was first developed and first kind of brought to fruition, especially, I hate to say this, when Race to Canis, you know, kind of came to the show and kind of brought what he brings to it, all of his insanity, but, you know, winning formula, by the way. I'm like, this show is not going to be small. It's not going to be a small podcast. It's not going to have a small fan base. It's going to resonate. People of significance are going to take notice. I knew this from day one, especially when Ray came onto the show. I'm like, we have the formula to make this a winner. And the reason, again, why it's a winner, why you proved me right, is because of you, the Legion of Audience. That's your feel-good moment of the year. All I can say is thank you so much, and I can't wait to kind of reveal what Ray and I and the whole team have prepared for you for and waiting for you for season 5. Ray, anything you want to say to the fans before we sign off? Because I'm about to cry with how emotional I'm getting right now.
I just want to know what all these things you promised behind the scenes that I don't know about are. Apparently, there's big things that I'm going to be doing, and I don't know what they are. I'm terrified right now. I don't know what James has promised outside people that I would be doing. But apparently I'm here for it.
Ray, were you ever disappointed by the really cool, surprising things that happened in season 4?
Yes.
Got it. All right. Well, be prepared to be surprised some more. All right. Brent Pope, Executive VP of the Who Would Win Show. Thank you again for being such an amazing Executive VP, for your guidance, for your knowledge, for your insight that you sometimes even give to the Who Would Win Show. Thank you for being a great judge, and please come back onto the show whenever you have free time to do it. With that being said, where can the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, find you?
Well, before I do that, James, with all the sentiment that you just had, I want to say we kind of have a tradition on the show, and it switches every once in a while, but like the whoever wins the season, I take them out for a nice champagne and steak and that kind of stuff. This year, I think I'm going to switch it up, and the runner-up I'm going to take out for champagne and truffles. So, James, let's do that this weekend. Ray, you got the win already. You're already the big winner. But James is going to go out for the $150 lunch. And yes, of course, you can find me on Breakfast with Brent Pope, my podcast, where, you know, where Hollywood meets great food. I wish I could say that correctly. Where Hollywood meets great food. Almost 200 total episodes on the show now. Instagram, Twitter, @ScoopsPope. I'm all over there. Glad always to be part of the show. Glad to be invited back. Although, as you guys know, you have no choice.
That's true. That's fair. All right, Ray, what a season 4. Congratulations on winning it. I hate to give you accolades here, but, you know, the show would not be what it is without you, without your lunacy, without your yelling, without your craziness, and sometimes even your great debating skills, which have insanely improved and are now keeping you on the toes, your insane challenge. Great job on season 4. With all that being said, tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you.
You say that I've improved as a debater, like I haven't won a previous season and came within a battle against Santa Claus from winning the two other seasons of this show, James Gavsey. I know the insults you mean when you throw it, and I am hereby ignoring them. I am great, and I keep getting greater, and you don't need to tell me that. I got a season 4 trophy on my wall that tells me everything I want to know about it. The biggest win by the biggest margin in Who Would Win history. Season 4. And that's my name on the trophy. Now, there was one category that I got rejected as far as bringing up. And I just want to take a moment, because this is my time, to say right now. And that's Comeback Judge of the Year Award. And it's something that I pitched for a judge who was terrible their first time around and then pulled it together in season 4. And there was only one nominee, and his name was Mitchell Baldwin. And he came back with a vengeance and had one of the best judges' performances in Who Would Win Show history. Here in season 4, but a scant few months ago, I want to give big ups, because after getting slammed across all of social media like he did for his season 1 decision of King Kong versus Megatron, one would argue that since I lost that season by 1 and that battle happened in that season, I should have won season 1 very rightfully. That argument could be made very well by me, and I'm sure everyone else on the planet. The point I'm trying to make is Mitchell Baldwin was a pariah in the eyes of the Who Would Win Show community, but he faced his fears, came back on the show despite all of the possibilities, and crushed it and did an excellent job, gave me the victory that I wanted, gave the people the victory that they deserved of me. And I just want to say right now, comeback judge of the year, Mitchell Baldwin, congratulations. You have earned it. You did a masterful job in season 4. You can find me on Twitter at Almighty Ray. I've got a lot to celebrate season 4, but besides all that, it's the holiday season. It's a new season on the horizon. We already have for season 5, episode 1, one of the biggest matchups in Who Would Win history that we've already agreed to. Here we are, you know, we're still a little far out from it. And here we are. We have come to that decision. You will see it when it is revealed. It's going to be a banger to start season 5 of the Who Would Win show is all I'm going to say. And I'm still not happy. I've got more wins than James overall. I'm tied with him 2 seasons to 2 seasons. But I'm still not happy, James. I won't be happy until I win every single match of season 5.
Ray, you know what? Speaking of declarations, 2 things I'm going to declare. Number one, well, 3 things. Number one, I played more video games this year than I ever have before. That's right, 2. So I am going to dedicate myself as another declaration to playing at least 3 video games.
Boy.
Actually, a lot more because I know I'm working with a video game company, so I really should be doing that. And we're going to have a lot more big surprises coming in. I guarantee you season 5 is going to leverage everything we did in season 4, and it's going to blow people's minds, especially the big announcements and surprises coming from both Ray and myself for season 5. That's right, Ray. You're going to have some announcements. With all that being said, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavs. You remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, Brent Pope, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Who Would Win. Happy holidays, and get ready for an insane season 5. We'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.